Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Carsten Schroeter. He is the CEO at the heavy division of Silvasti Group, and he's based in Germany. First and foremost, Carsten, very welcome to this interview.
Thanks a lot, Bo. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. Good to see you here. Always a pleasure. Well, as I always do with my interviewees, I always allow them a chance to elaborate a little bit on their past career and how they got into logistics in the first place. How come you're not working at BMW or working in a bank? Why are you in logistics, Carsten?
I think that's a good question, but I've been asked that a few times. My dad is maybe one of the reasons. He brought me to the ports in all over Northern Germany in the past when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I learned it from scratch. My dad was taking a role in the Rhenus Group already in 1967. So
wow.
I was born in the same year. So I had to follow him from child feet always. That was one of the main influences in my life. And so I started my apprenticeship studies later on, and I was always very much connected to heavy business, but yeah, also to freight forwarding and ports shipping.
Fantastic. That's an impressive career. Yes, I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say. So you are one of those many examples, I'm sure.
I am, yeah. And my father is still interested. He's become 82 now, and he is still asking me more or less weekly what's going on.
It's fantastic. It's you seem to have had a good mentor there. Tell me, Carsten, tell me a little bit about your role now, Silvasti Group. What can you tell me about the Silvasti Heavy Group? First of all, for our viewers who wouldn't know, who are Silvasti Group overall, and what do you do? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I can try. So the Silvasti company itself is already about 40 years background, mainly in Scandinavia, and they are well known for their heavy trucks, and I think they're more or less very strong footprint in all the Scandinavian countries.
Correct.
So in the last couple of years, this company grew more, and also we put our feet into countries now like the Baltics. And yeah, our main business fields is definitely the wind business, which means onshore wind, the transport, the port handling. Sometimes even now, since last year, also starting the erection of the wind turbines and the installation. There's a new business field which we follow. And for myself, the heavy business, which means everything else but wind.
Okay.
So transformers, any kind of machineries, heavy transport at itself, and mostly not only related to transport on the road, but also multimodal.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting because, as you said, I've certainly seen the Silvasti trucks around here in Scandinavia right now. I'm in Denmark, so certainly a well-known company. And when you say heavy, besides the wind, which always get a lot of attention, transformers you mentioned, you must have big challenges running heavy transport. There are a lot of permissions you need from road authorities. Tell us a little bit about. It's not just to give a price. There are also other factors, aren't there?
There are more factors, of course. I mean, to the most customers, we have a very strong and long-term relationship already.
Yeah.
So that means we are involved in their projects mostly by 2 or 3 years before, and that's it's still in the project phase or still in the bidding phase.
Okay.
Yeah. If it comes to complicated locations, yeah, mostly the last mile is often a headache in the very beginning, yeah, and the projects, they don't develop like the logistics is involved from the very moment, but on the last second, yeah, and then the customers come back to us, and so we try to stick into this very early, and we try to be their partners from the day one.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say that your customers might be it might be freight forwarders, it might be shippers directly, anyone that have a need for heavy haulage, that would be you, right?
Yeah, we are open to this clientele, no matter if it is freight forwarding companies, if it is the OEMs themselves,
yeah,
if it's other investors involved, sometimes even potential consignees ask us on a kind of consultation already from the beginning. So we are open for anyone to cooperate for sure.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I would consider nowadays maybe 80% of our business is OEM driven,
yeah,
and the rest 20% is mainly freight forwarding companies.
Okay, and for the casual viewer of this interview here, can you explain the meaning of OEM just so it's clear for those who may not know?
Yeah, the OEM is the company who's producing the main components. Like if you're talking about wind, we have a few players here in Europe. I
Yeah.
can name maybe four, like Vestas, Nordex,
Yeah, the usual, yeah.
Siemens Gamesa and the Enercons, who are currently, I think, the market leaders in Europe.
Yeah.
Or that part, they are called the OEMs. So, and in other businesses, like in machinery or in transformers, it's companies like ABB, Hitachi, or whoever.
Right. Yeah. Of course, DC transformers are also well known here, both in Scandinavia and Germany, I'm sure. When I must say, I don't have much knowledge myself about road transport, but certainly you and Silversti have that know-how. How do you go about? I mean, where do you have your offices located? Your physical offices located right now in your group?
Now, the main two offices we have, which also added to our fleet, so our trucks and our trailers, are headed in northern Denmark. It's called Fjerritslev.
Yeah,
It's
left, yeah.
close to Aalborg.
Right.
And the other main office is in Jyväskylä, which is the headquarters, and also the location where our CEO, Mr. Bill Sylvester, has his office.
Right.
And both stations, we have quite big maintenance stations. So most of the repair works on our trucks, we do ourselves.
Yeah.
So we have a team, a service team, and we really rely on our own force about the needs, because those heavy transports really needs good service
Yeah.
to maintain them well. They're extremely expensive,
Oh yeah.
but they are valuable also for the transports to come. So we
Yeah.
are really picky with that
Yes. Yes,
in Europe.
I can imagine. I mean, anyone who wanted to be suddenly a heavy hauler maybe overlooks the massive investment. I mean, you have expensive equipment. It's expensive just to have idling there in the yard, and you need to maintain it, right? I mean, that's part of your reputation, I guess.
It is. It is. Yeah. I think we are not, to be honest, we are not always the cheap chick. We cannot be the cheapest on the market, but our value is that we are reliable, that we are there when it is needed. And I think for sure everyone says that, but our really premise is also like we want to have zero mistakes, yeah, zero damages,
Yeah.
zero accidents. This is some of the goals we really follow. And talking about the values, in case of 100 tons of transformer, we talk about 4 million euro maybe. Then so it's like something we should be careful about here.
Of course, yeah, and then it should not be a matter of the price only. I mean, and these are, I suppose, they are tailor-made. You don't just have another one in store
Often, yeah.
if something happens. How many these? What are the heaviest, just to give our viewers an idea? Mention a couple of the heavy pieces you have taken in your division, for example. Yeah, just a couple of examples.
Yeah, a couple of examples. Some transformers, including offloading by jacking and skidding, for instance, we have managed up to 380 tons recently in Estonia.
Wow.
So this kind of cargo is then maybe 12 meters long,
Yeah.
some 6 meters high and 4 meters wide, and then it's a huge monster on the road on the way to the at least to the customers, and then the
Yeah.
offloading itself is often a narrow space, so we have special equipment where we can like jack it up and skid it down and maybe slide it into some foundation, for
Wow.
instance. Specific technical equipment which is needed for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and certainly know-how. I mean, this is very impressive. I have seen personally, and I'm not saying this because I'm interviewing you, but I have seen personally a lot of your equipment in various Scandinavian ports with wind blades or blades in particular. So you really have the tools there. How many people would you say you are in the Silversti group yeah, right now?
I would consider all over, we are 130 people.
Okay.
We are talking roughly about 80 special trucks, and we're talking about 180 to 200 special trailers,
Wow.
which has been always changing, and we are always going with the newest developments, because I'm talking about wind blades now with 88 meters of length currently onshore. So this needs specific clamp systems and specific kind of dolly systems and trailers. And it's we are at the moment maybe one of the big players in Europe who have maybe one of the biggest fleet of that.
I certainly believe that it's impressive, and I remember in my young days, so many kilos ago, the longest blade for wind turbines was 20 meters or something, something like that.
But it
So.
grew over the years, and offshore we are now with 150, and it also in onshore. I think the end will not be just 88, it will be 100 meter and maybe even more.
Incredible,
And it's
incredible.
all still in one piece. So the
Yeah.
OEMs, the producers, they try to have changes in that, maybe also divided blades by two, but the strength and the wind power which is blowing day by day is
Yeah.
didn't allow that to work like that.
I see. Tell me, how do you see the challenges? I mean, there's been a lot of writing, or at least recently, about getting road permissions. Is that a headache in the EU nowadays to get permission to transport a certain thing on the road? That's also something you do as the heavy haulier, right? I mean, deal with the
Yeah,
public authority, so to speak.
we do it in several countries. We do it ourselves, like in the Nordics. Yeah, but in other countries, we are relying on some partners.
Ah,
To be honest, Scandinavia is still a nice place to
yeah.
be for permits compared. If you go for Finland, you can go nearly everywhere with a diameter of 7 meter.
Wow.
So there is not the biggest headache, but in other countries, it becomes more and more headache, of course.
Right.
Talking about Germany, for instance, it's a often discussed topic, but yeah, we face sometimes really old-fashioned systems and long-lasting at least procedures to get permits done, and it's just bureaucratic.
Yeah, but of course, having said that, at least you are not the only one facing that. Any competitor to you
All of
will
us.
face the same, right?
Yes, we are all of us, and we all try to align also even in groups and together with the OEMs to at least find ways to increase the
Yeah.
number of people involved in this permit kind of authorities. So yeah, we have to work on that, and
Yeah.
we need to also involve the politics.
Unfortunately, yeah. But it serves you credit, it gives you credit that you are working with others to try and move this system. And my personal view is, if we should have any chance to compete with overseas countries for production, we also have to be able to handle the logistics. We can't drown ourselves in regulations endlessly. So,
Yeah. And the
it's.
northern countries nowadays, if you're talking about wind, for instance, we are still more or less in between our group of European OEMs. Like, as I mentioned already, the Chinese still not really active in here.
No.
They start in southern Europe. They start also in African countries for sure. But in the Nordics, still there is maybe more, and there's a higher requirements. But it is a matter of time. Yeah,
Yeah.
there will be more competition in the future.
Yeah, but keep the quality up, and I'm sure with you there, it'll definitely help Silvesti to keep up the good name there. So, very interesting. And how do you see the future? We're soon at the end of 25. How do you view the next year? Are there still projects ongoing, or uncertainty due to the war in Ukraine? How do you view it from a market point of view?
I mean, there's a high demand in energy, yeah, and
Yeah.
especially in those countries where we have alternative, at least renewable energies. And in many instances, we have these big projects, these mega projects like the Stegra Group now building in Boden, this
Oh,
green
yeah.
steel factory,
Right.
which is a lot of influence also on the transport sector, on the craneage sector, like in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And in regards to shipments, I think we are not lay back at the moment. We are working on the progress for the next years to come. Even though 26 is a bit lower or slower in Scandinavia, we will move to other countries. So we go for the Baltics now.
Yeah, good.
We have been active there for bigger wind farms already, which have already been finished, but also the outlook is not too bad for
Yeah.
the years to come in those countries.
And I suppose maybe it's a little bit awkward question to think about already now, but I suppose at some stage, even decommissioning of things, I mean, things that has to be removed after finished use, then again, they will use your
Yeah,
equipment to move it, right?
this is even something which we are already in. So we are currently also helping to maintain the existing windmills. So
Okay.
blade exchange, bearing exchanges
Right.
is something which we are very common. We have
Interesting.
own cranes in the meantime.
All right.
So we also rent in cranes. We have three teams We are calling them TCI maintenance. That
All
means
right.
transport craneage installation. And then we have our crane itself. We
Okay.
pick up the blades, we bring them down, we exchange them, we repair them even, and sometimes we scrap them. So,
Wow.
and then we recycle them by our own sister company.
Wow. It sounds to me like you don't have any fear of being out of a job.
We have to be flexible on that one. The pure transport itself is becoming more and more competitive. So that's why we try to add services as much as
Not so easy to copy paste what you're doing. That's
things we do is not easy to copy paste, but there are others also have the same
of course,
type of strategy, of course. But still, this market is still something which we see. So many onshore windmills have been put in the last 20 years. And they're still running, but there's often repair works needed, yeah. And then we are there to support our customers.
Very, very, very good. And just in case I didn't ask, when did you start with the Silvasti Group, actually? What year did you?
I started in April 2024, so it's
Okay,
just
so
1.5 years ago.
so you're pretty fresh.
Before, I worked 17 years under the Rhenus Group. I was
Right.
responsible in the global project division with 18 divisions in 13 countries, finally.
And now you are, let's say, in a big company, but still a lot smaller
It's
than.
still, but it's still more availability on the short notice. Yeah, that's the main
I
aspect.
can imagine.
Only one time zone, though. In the past, it was 16th in between West and East.
No, it's a less jet lag, so to speak, right?
Yes.
Very interesting, Carsten. I must say, very. I think Silvasti is lucky to have you there. So I want to say formally many thanks for your excellent answers to
Thanks
from
a
me.
lot for asking me, and I'm happy to support you.
Definitely. Thank you very much. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Carsten Schroeter. He's the CEO at the heavy division of Silvasti Group. He's based in Germany, whilst Silvasti Group is headquartered in Finland, office in Denmark, and renowned supplier of heavy transport, both for blades and transformers and other heavy lifts. Do contact with Carsten here if you have any inquiry Europe-wide. They certainly know what they're doing. From me in Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much and see you next time.